Thank you. Since the speakers finished a little bit earlier, we have 3 minutes. So for two quick questions from the audience. Go ahead.
Great presentations. I think it's wonderful to see the expansion of activity. I just want to know from the two speakers who expanded on arterial interventions what their thoughts are, who and where these procedures should be done. If basically their sense is that any access center should place stents into the subclavian artery, or how far surgical backup should be when you do the procedure. And the second question, there are some forearm fistulas that don't work due to very small feeding arteries. And there are a number of reports of doing controlled disruption of radial arteries. Is that something that you have explored as an additional procedure?
Yeah, let me try to answer your first question. And when, who, and where to do it, and it's all about how people got comfortable with the practice, and really how much communication associated with that. Even right now, I see some trend of dialysis management centers moving for solely doing dialysis access, doing some even peripheral artery stenosis intervention. So we dealing with artery intervention, the risk is higher. So I think it really depends on your setting. My setting is I work in the radiology setting and a lot of backups, and I have no worry. And if something goes wrong, it's inpatient setting, we can always go if we have to.
Yeah, I would echo Stephen's sentiments, and I would also add that cardiac catheterization and coronary intervention is being done in both the inpatient setting as well as the outpatient setting in this country. And in the outpatient setting, there's nothing magical about being inpatient versus outpatient. If you have the requisite backup and skill set to perform the procedure in the outpatient setting, then I think it's okay to do so. And I would translate that to our discipline in renal arteries, and so I think Dirk mentioned subclavian intervention. I think what's really critical is using the manifold, limiting bubbles into the great arch of the aorta. I think there's a defined skill set for what to do inside that sort of area as opposed to the veins. And I think once you acquire that skill set and there's a clear path for backup and communication, I think that's the critical element. It's not location per se.
Brenda?
I'd like to hear your thoughts or comments regarding looping of AV fistulas, either primarily or as a treatment for vascular steel or treatment of hand ischemia.
Looping, you mean not proximalization?
No.
It's kind of very close to that, actually. I don't necessarily have experience with the looping. I have experience enough, actually, with the proximalization. And the main purpose is just to bring it up to a larger size artery. So far, actually, we have a series of cases that we're hopefully going to publish it. We had a very good success with it, actually. But the loop one, I'm not sure.
And one thing I want to add here is I think for most steel syndrome, at least at my center, and usually it's related to arterial infrastenosis. When you find those stenosis, you treat them, and the symptom usually go away.
Alex? Yeah, I think what your point was that you have a fistula that is down here. If you want to loop it up there to the brachial artery, the size of the fistula is already big, and what if there's a steel? And I have seen that scenario. I'm not going to tell you if I'm older than lawyer or not, but I've seen that scenario. And I think Dr. Miller's procedure from New York probably works in that scenario. It's a good option. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was a great session. I'd like to thank the speakers and congratulate them for their excellent talks.